1st of March, 1932. One more month of 1932 gone. The weather has been very cold of late. A northeasterly wind has sprung up and has held up most of the foreign shipping, trying to evade the tariffs on imports which come into force today. England is having a sort of gold rush this winter. Now that we've gone off the gold standard, all the hoarded gold is being bought up at an enormous price. As much as 30 shillings is being given for a gold sovereign. Attended evening classes. I have missed a great deal through my not going last Tuesday, but I think if I work hard at it, I can manage to learn it all. 2nd of March, 1932. Greatly surprised at evening school tonight, as the English examination was held. I wrote about the worst essay I have ever written on life in the time of Queen Anne, and got mixed up with the clause analysis. I suppose the exam was fairly easy, but my being wholly unprepared, I was taken by surprise. 4th of March, 1932. Went to the doctor's. He expressed great approval at the sight of my arms, the rash having all but disappeared. Obtained a prescription for more ointment. 7th of March, 1932. A gruesome experience going home tonight. The train I entered at Aldgate East was only lighted in the first carriage, and though several efforts were made to put it through on the part of a mechanic named Alf, he was unsuccessful to the time I last saw the train. I wasn't very keen on the affair at all. We seemed like a ghost train of lost souls condemned to fly along the metals till the day of judgment. Such diversity of weather lately. On Saturday, it looked like rain and was dull all day. Sunday was bright and cheerful, and today, if it had not been for the inevitable March wind, would have been perfect. The sun is shining its heart out, up to about 5:30, when it poured and has continued since. Had great struggles with my homework, maths, this evening. These trig ratios need much thoughtful study. My throat is still funny. A big lump which hurts me to swallow. By the way, I changed Mark Twain for Asgard and the Gods by Dr. Wagner on Saturday. The latter is about the gods of the northern races. Thor, Odin, Freya and the like. Very interesting and exciting in parts. 8th of March 1932. Attended maths tonight. Engaged in revision. There is much preparation of factors and trigonometry necessary. 9th of March, 1932. Nom de nom. The only expression possible. At English tonight, what am I told but that my essay in last week's exam fetched 35 marks out of 40 and the rest of the paper 48 out of 60. Total 83%. Pass. This is the third time I have passed this exam. 10th of March, 1932. Listen to Acts 3 and 4 of Faust, Gounod, from Manchester tonight, by the Covent Garden Opera Company. Thoroughly enjoyed it. 16th of March, 1932. Tried to book up at Sadler's Wells for the Magic Flute on Saturday the 2nd of April, and for La Boheme on the following Saturday, but find they do not book by phone. Have resolved to call there on the way home tomorrow. 17th of March 1932. Got a ticket to Farringdon Road tonight and walked to Sadler's Wells and booked the seats as arranged. Was quite surprised and pleased with Rosebery Avenue. It is lined with trees and has several open spaces on either side and many well-lighted attractive buildings. Seeing that I had passed Finsbury Town Hall halfway there, methought if I took a road southerly, I might strike Finsbury Square, so wandered through many unknown streets and brought me out to the back of Smith Mill Market. A most curious place, with an archway in the middle, so decorated with ornamental ironwork and great wooden beams, arched and resting on corbels, as to resemble the inside of a cathedral somewhat. 18th of March, 1932. Had French exam tonight. Very simple. Though, as I have missed a lot of it, I do not expect to get through. Bought a copy of the special number of the Times Weekly Edition, giving a supplement dealing with the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which is being opened at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, local time, GMT, midnight tonight. 21st of March, 1932. Very dull weather today and threatened rain in the evening. It's about time we did have some, as there has been a drought since before Christmas. Some of the country places are very hard up for water. I must get a bike in time for Easter, if I can. 22nd of March, 1932. Pouring with rain most of the day. Somehow, probably on account of the weather, I am not so keen on the bike. Maths exam tonight. Good all-round paper, and my trig did not forsake me, as on the previous occasion, last session. 23rd of March, 1932. Great guns! Getting off the train, I noticed under the heading GWR the word Swindon, and pulling up short, discovered to my great pleasure that a trip was being run from Paddington to the Great Western Railway Works at that town, enabling members to go over the works and return to London, the whole trip occupying about 8 hours for the magnificent sum of 5 shillings. Byrne went on it about 2 years ago, so I decided to ask the office manager if there was any chance of getting Thursday the 31st of March 1932 off. He replied that I had better write in to the firm about it. 24th of March 1932. Got leave to go to Swindon on Thursday next. Must try and get this bike. I got some literature last night and I believe I will go in for a BSA £7.10 model with 3-speed. It works out at about 3 shillings and a penny per week. Spent most of this evening running round to old Oggins's shop in the Barking Road to inquire how soon I could have this bike on the instalment system, and was told that if I returned a form filled in tonight, I could have the machine on Saturday. However, I did not reach home till 8:45, and so did not have time to return it before they closed. 25th of March, 1932. Dad went round to Bates's to see what bikes they had there, but found them closed. We all took a Hillman's to Brentwood and spent the day walking round Shenton District. Beautiful weather all day long. 26th of March, 1932. Went with Dad this morning to Bates's and after some deliberation purchased a Hercules popular model with Sturmey Archer 3-speed gear and a bell to go with it. £5, 1 shilling and threepence. There are no extras such as pump, tool bag, tools, reflector, etc. with this model, so I shall have to get those later on as I need them. I have a pump and some tools left from the old rally, which broke down 4 years ago. Having bought the bike, I must needs go out on it, so arrange with Mum and Dad to go over a route from Romford to Havering, and from there to Passingford Bridge to Abridge and back home through Woodford. I had some struggle with the wind, which was blowing strongly from the northeast. I went via the Barking bypass to avoid the tram lines, through Barking to Romford, Havering, and met Mum and Dad at Stapleford Abbots, from which I accompanied them to Abridge, where they caught a bus for home, and I continued to Woodford, where I left the main road to cut through Wanstead, and went across the flats and down to Catherine Road home. Greatly enjoyed the run. Listen tonight to the first of the series of radio music halls featuring Gus Elan, among others. Very good show. About the best all-round show the BBC had put up for a long time. Had a violent toothache tonight. 27th of March, 1932. Woke up this morning with a face about twice as wide as it ought to be. Doesn't hurt much, but I shan't go out on the bike today. Besides, it's raining hard. Listen to the Easter morning service from Liverpool Cathedral. 28th of March, 1932. Bank holiday, showery as usual. Was kept indoors all day by the abscess on my jaw. Played cards and chess with Dad and read a great deal during the day. Listened to part of La Traviata on gramophone records from Radio Paris, which came in very well tonight. 29th of March, 1932. Went to Paddington to get my ticket to Swindon on Thursday. The structural alterations since last November have made the place almost unrecognisable, especially at the extension of number one platform. Had poached egg on mash for dinner. About all I can eat with my face as it is. It begins to nag now. I hope it will not mar my happiness on Thursday. 30th of March, 1932. Couldn't stand it any longer. So I asked S for the name of the dentist he went to some while back and had the tooth pulled out. Only I wasn't as brave as that. In fact, the least said, the better. 31st of March, 1932. The great day. Left home about 11 o'clock and got to Paddington just in time to see the Torbay Limited go out at midday. Our train left sharp on time, 12:40, hauled by King Richard I, and arrived at Swindon at about 2 o'clock. We had notched up 50 miles an hour at Ealing, and soon afterwards reached 60 miles an hour, which we maintained throughout the greater part of the journey, except for a slack just outside Reading, where plate layers were at work. On arrival at Swindon, we were conducted to the works, where we were split up into parties of from 15 to 20, with an official guide to each party, and started on our tour. We began with the rolling stock repair works, and passed on to the coaching stock erecting shops, and finishing shops, where the carriage doors and internal and external furniture are made, finished, polished and painted. Then we went through the iron casting shops and saw cylinders and other locomotive accessories, wheelboxes, chairs, etc. being cast. This is the first time I've seen iron in its molten state and I was much impressed. We passed from here to the boiler house and saw the men at work riveting boiler plates together and boilers to firebox casings, etc. The din of hydraulic and pneumatic riveters was almost overpowering. We then went to what was perhaps the most interesting shop of all, A shop, where locomotives are erected, dismantled and repaired. Here we saw a castle being run under its own power at about 30 miles per hour, on a sort of glorified testing bench where statistics are obtained of drawbar pull, fuel consumption and the like. Here also were locos consisting of partly assembled frames, frames with wheels and motions complete but no superstructure, cabs, fireboxes and boilers on frames, engines without wheels and many other interesting spectacles. One of the overhead travelling cranes held in suspension a 260 tank engine, freshly painted but minus its leading wheels. Wheels were also being made and tested in this shop, and ranged in size from the 6 foot 8.5 inch diameter wheels of the King class locomotives, down to the smallest tender wheels. Finally, we came to the latest King, King Stephen, and were able to go over its footplate and thoroughly inspect its inner workings. We arrived outside the works at about 4 p.m. and got back to the station at 4:30. Our train was not due to start till 5:30, so we had some time to wait. Just before we left Paddington this morning, a youngster of about 12 or 13 got into my compartment. He was on his own, so we chummed up and kept together throughout the day. Going down there were also four chaps in my carriage who seemed more enthusiastic about taking photographs of locos than the tour of the works. Each had a quarter plate camera and, I should say, about 2 dozen plates. They seemed to have a hard job not to exhaust their plates before we arrived at Swindon. Never before have I seen so many people taking numbers of locos such as I have seen today. Coming home, the corridor was full of youngsters and grown-ups as well, who kept up a stream of remarks as to numbers, classes and names of the various locos we passed. I bought a book for myself about the locomotives, giving numbers, names, types and classes, and interesting data about tractive efforts, net and gross weights, etc. Arrived home at about 8 o'clock. Mum and Dad had gone to Grandma's and did not get back before 10. Well, I've finished this month well.